Good morning again, everybody. Hey, you know, Savannah said this morning, I just want to say again as we get started here, maybe for somebody here, maybe you didn't have the best example of a dad, but the one thing that we can be assured, no matter what our earthly father was like, our heavenly father loves us. And I would encourage you, if you're here this morning, maybe you didn't have the best dad, don't let that get in the way of your understanding of who God is. Sometimes the earthly representation becomes kind of a heavenly representation, and we kind of misunderstand God because, unfortunately, we struggle in this life with sin. And so sometimes dads aren't perfect. So good morning. Welcome to Father's Day. I'm excited to be here. I hope you're excited to be here. Our text this morning is going to be in Proverbs chapter 2, if you want to turn there this morning. And as we turn there, I just want to remind you guys, our memory verse, we're going through the Bible, and it's the Word in us, and we're memorizing Scripture. And so our memory verse this week is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And who knows it? Does anybody know Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8? Miss Connie, could you say it for us? It is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved. That not of ourselves, but it's a gift of God. That's not through us. We didn't do it. And it's a wonderful scripture that demonstrates, and I love the scripture this week, that really exhibits the heart of God for His people. It's that through grace He saves us. Because in and of ourselves, we really don't deserve that. And He gives us this wonderful gift. And if you're here this morning, if you never experienced that or never received that gift, I encourage you, before you leave this morning, see myself, see Pastor Wayne. We'd love to talk with you about that, how you could receive that free gift of God that leads to eternal life, not only in the by and by, but the possession of eternal life now and the peace that we know through the knowledge that we have of God. Next week, our memory verse is Psalms 119, 152. So just want to give you guys that. It's important that we memorize Scripture. I want to, as I start this morning, as you turn to your text, the Spirit just kind of laid a verse on me that goes with my text this morning, and I just want to give this to you guys. Comes out of Hosea in the 4th chapter in the 6th verse. It says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And that is a statement for all the ages. The people of God oftentimes are destroyed for their lack of knowledge when we don't value the Word of God, when we don't hide the Word of God in our heart. And I want you to remember that verse. This morning we're going to look, the title of my message is "The Heart of a Father." And so as we continue our summer of meat, I want us to look at what the Bible reveals about the heart of our Father in heaven for us as children, as we face the evils of this world as revealed in Scripture. And the heart of each father or grandfather here today, I hope, for their own children. I'll try to be brief this morning. I, like many of you fathers here, am excited to know where I'm taking myself for lunch, and I can't wait to find out. Yeah, you know, I'd love that. You know, I'm equally excited to find out what I got myself. Amen. You know, I'm looking forward to that. You know, I was looking forward to that every week. And sadly, though, then comes the, how much did this cost me exactly? Happy Father's Day, guys. Isn't it great? Yeah, nothing like being a father. I do appreciate my wife and children, though. They've honored me well today already. And I appreciate Savannah and Jeffrey and all of you who honor your fathers, because it's a hard thing being a dad, just like it's a hard thing being a mom. We have our own challenges. However, my topic today is rather serious, so I would ask for your attention, for you to bring your focus to bear on the message today. Especially you dads, as you sit here today, it's your responsibility to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And if, say, maybe I'm not a dad, you know, but you're going to be a dad, Jose. Not anytime soon, though. Remember, we just talked about that, remember? Yeah. Yeah. Me and Jeffrey have already talked through that, so just saying. Maybe you're a grandparent here today. You know, just because we don't have kids in the house doesn't mean we don't interact with our grandchildren. Doesn't mean that dads still don't influence us today. And my message today, my topic today is very serious. See, the days we live in now are very evil. They got quiet. We just talked about this downstairs. And all the church said amen. Because the days in which we live today are very evil. Evil in ways, as I said in the youth group, that I don't remember in the 70s, and I can remember the 70s. America and much of the world is quickly moving further and further away from the one true God. This should, however, come as no surprise to the Christian who makes God's Word a priority in his or her life. You see, the Apostle Paul warned us that in these times that people would move away in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter and the 3rd verse, stating this, Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. It's a warning, a clear warning of the times in which we live. Today in America, research reveals that roughly 22% of Americans attend church services weekly, with as many as 64% of Americans attending church less than once per month or not at all. That should be startling to us. In America, we think of America as a Judeo-Christian nation. We are a Christian nation, but that is not true anymore. We are a secular nation and moving further and further and further in that direction as a nation. 64% of Americans this morning won't be in church, or of those 64%, for some it will be the one time that they go in a month or less. That should be startling for us, but it's also good news if you have your True Life card and you're coming the way of the Master, because it's also a good opportunity for us to be a vehicle in this time to share the gospel. America is truly becoming an idolatrous nation, choosing ourselves to be God rather than honoring the one true God and reaping the consequences of that choice. If you think the days in which we live are not evil, please think again. I would invite you to come downstairs, parents, and go with us as a team through counterculture as it begins to lay out some of the cultural issues. Today we looked at the value of human life and some of the issues people face through abortion, human trafficking, pornography, the sex industry. I posted a couple of articles this week. One, if you had an opportunity to read in the Crossing page, about the evils in America of child sex and the demand for sex with children. It's startling. I read this morning, and I shared with the youth, an article posted by Fox News of a man in Indiana who lured teens into killing another teen so that he could watch it, and had been contacting and having communication with them through social media and encouraging them to sexually assault other teens and giving them instructions how to do so. Currently in Alaska, there are 4 people in jail for the murder, and there's 1 man being extradited from Indiana. The days in which we live are evil. Dads, I'm speaking primarily to us, but to everyone, but especially to us dads. The Apostle Paul also warned us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Today we find entire Christian denominations ignoring the clear teachings of Scripture, choosing to instead to affirm and embrace lifestyles that are completely contrary to God's Word. You will also find in evangelical or orthodox churches across America today many people who no longer care for religion, choosing rather to practice spirituality. When they come to church, they act as if they believe they're at Burger King and that they can have God their way. That is not the God of the Bible. When you hear that code for religion, not spirituality, is I want to come to church and I want Jesus as my Savior, but I do not want Jesus as my Lord. I do not need your rules. I do not wish to hear your doctrine. I don't want to know what you believe the Bible teaches. That's simply your interpretation. I had this very conversation last week at work with a lady who is a Christian who attends church. I recently attended her church. And she said, how can we even know? It's all just interpretation. It's yours. It's mine. And I had to point out to her her thinking error. It's a philosophical error. It's postmodernism. You just brought in that all truth is truth. And that is a truth claim that when stood by itself defeats itself. Because is your claim true or is your claim untrue? If all truth is true, that's a truth claim. Is that true? Or is that simply your interpretation? That is the America in which we live. Plainly put, however, this is the very definition of idolatry. When you make the God that you want and that you desire, that is an idol. Whether you fashion it with your hands, carve it out of wood, make it out of metal, or you fashion it with your mind, that is idolatry. As a result, we find a growing moral erosion in our society. And for many today, a growing sense of helplessness, hopelessness, anxiety, and depression as a result. It may well be that we live in the time the Apostle Paul warned us about in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 when he said, this know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And we live in those times, not only physical danger, but also spiritual danger. When entire denominations misinterpret God's Word, entire denominations don't listen to God's Word, and hosts of people within churches that would be considered biblical, orthodox, fundamental churches don't even read God's Word. Have no idea what it says. As the prophet Hosea would say, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So how are we to respond as Christians in these times? In our first message in this series, Pastor Wayne challenged us to examine whether we are truly committed to the church. Dads, I ask you today, are you truly committed to the church? Is this a checkbox for you? Or are you here because you love God, you love God's people, you love God's Word, and you're leading your family in the way that God would call you to lead them? This morning, Father, I hope for the sake of your children, because there are predators out there, not only those who would prey on our kids and do them harm, but mental predators out there in colleges and school campuses that are feeding our kids false ideas. I hope that you're committed to the church, especially this church. If you call it your home, I hope you are committed to this church. I want to see you, and I challenge to see you in our men's crews. I challenge to see you here at Way of the Master. I challenge to see you with your children. I challenge you to read the Scripture with your children. I challenge you to review these messages, take notes, and talk about this with your wife. Talk about this with your family. Commit ourselves to the Word of God. Last week, Pastor David taught us what the church is and challenged us to be part of the church. You see, you could be committed to this body of believers, but still not be part of it. You can come here every day and you could take up space and you could breathe air, but you might not be part of this body. And I would challenge you this morning, Dad, that you're truly part of this church through regular attendance, tithing to support this church. It's very biblical. You mean God wants my money? I couldn't tell you how many times I had this conversation. I witnessed to a guy recently. First, he said, well, I went to a church over there and they wanted my W-4. Now, I don't want your W-4, and I want you to give out of a grateful heart. If you don't understand biblical tithing, please don't. But sit down with me, and I'll explain it to you how God says in Malachi that bring the whole tithe and offering into the storehouse. Test me now. The only place I know of in the Bible, unless somebody can show it to me, where God says, test me. Any other thing, God says, don't test me. Test me now. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, there's not room enough to contain it. And I don't mean just material blessings. I mean spiritual blessings. I mean knowledge of God's Word. There's a famine in this land for knowledge of God's Word. Peace that surpasses all understanding as we lead our families and live our lives. And Pastor David challenged us, be part of this church. Develop deep relationships with others. Can you look around here and say, I have a deep relationship with one other person in this church that's not my spouse? Do you know somebody? Are you sowing into their lives? Or are you discipling anyone? Are you part of this church? Are you committed to that, to developing relationships? That's why we have sisterhood. That's why we have men's crews, to develop relationships that we can do life together. That's the purpose of the church, as Pastor David pointed out last week. Are you using your spiritual gifts to edify this body of believers? If you are here today and you were born again, the Bible clearly teaches God has given you gifts in the Spirit for the edification of the body. Are you using those in this church? Are you teaching if you have the gift of teaching? Are you encouraging if you have the gift of encouragement? Are you being faithful? Do you have the gift of faith? Are you helping if you have the gift of help? That's a curse, by the way. I have that gift. When things need to be done, I just start doing them. And I always find myself just deciding, no, those people who don't have that gift and they walk on by and they don't see it, I'm like, Lord, give them the gift of helps. Amen. Yeah, I'm praying for some of you guys. Give them the gift of helps. Are you actively teaching your children those same things? I said this, and Pastor Wayne has said this, and Pastor David has said this many times. Our children will never rise above us. My love for this church will set the tone for my children's love for the church. My love for the Word of God will set the tone for my children's love for the Word of God. My service, I love my wife. She grew up in a house of ministry, and she grew up seeing ministry. And we are equally yoked. We cheated on that test, by the way, all these years later. I'll just tell you, that premarital test. Pastor David came to us. We did a premarital test. He's like, y'all cheat on that? We were just equally yoked. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked. You know, and I always encourage Christians, be equally yoked with somebody in ministry. Because if you're not yoked with the same type of heart for ministry, it's going to cause problems in your family. Our text today deals, though, with what our Father in Heaven's heart is for us as His children as we sojourn in this world, especially in times such as we find ourselves now. Fathers, our children today are under attack from the womb all the way to the grave. They face an onslaught of murder and drugs, sexual immorality, sex trafficking, false ideas, and worldly teachings that entice them away into destruction both in this life and ultimately in eternity. From the cradle to the grave, our children are under assault. Are we praying for our children? As a church, Dad, do you pray for your children? Dad, do you go to those men that you've developed deep relationships with and say, pray for my son, pray for my daughter? Yeah, I'm happy, Dad. I'll pick on my son. I've been praying for him for like 13 years in the church. And it's like all of a sudden one day he showed up, won't go away, man. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, hallelujah. Now I'm praying for my daughter and Nathan over there too. And I'll put them out. I'll throw them on Front Street too. And I pray you guys will pray for them. As they navigate this world, all of my kids, I'm praying for them that they develop godly discernment, that they understand what the Bible teaches. They live out godly principles so they can avoid the pitfalls in life. You see, it's our job as husbands and fathers to stand in the gap for our families, to lead the way by being committed to God, His Word, and His church. As Pastor Wayne pointed out in his sermon, we each will stand before Almighty God to give an answer for our stewardship of our families. If you didn't hear that, go back and listen to Pastor Wayne's message. That challenges me. It challenged me so much. I'm like, Wayne, man, why y'all up in my business? I went home and set up a regular devotion with my wife. We don't regularly do that. We do devotion. She does her. But I'm like, man, dang, Lord. So I went home and set one up. I'm like, hey, let's do this all the time instead of just as we're able. Let's make time. So this morning in our text, and we'll get to it, and I'll be brief this morning because I know we want to get out of here and our time runs short, but if you would stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. I want to read through Proverbs chapter 2, and then I want to pull three quick things out of it this morning. Beginning in verse 1, it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. His path, he keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. You guys can be seated. Three things I want to draw out of this very quickly that reveal our Father's heart for His children of all ages, but especially this time, but especially you, dads. Dads, give me your ear. Lean in. Pay attention here. The first thing that our Heavenly Father desires for you as the leader in your home, but for all of His children, is that we would desire His Word. Look again at verses 1 through 4. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with me, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hidden treasure. See, God desires this morning, as any good father, for you as His children to desire His Word. What father here today does not desire his children to listen to his instruction? For his children to avoid the pitfalls of life that he himself has experienced. And this may come as a shock to you this morning, but our Heavenly Father knows every pitfall a person could ever encounter in this life. He created it. He designed it. It may come as a shock. I counsel many people and they'll say, well, I'm in this problem or I have this problem. The first thing I always say is, what does the Bible say about your situation? That's usually what I get. Because if you knew what the Bible said about your situation, you wouldn't be in this mess to start with. You would not be where you're at if you knew what it said to start with. Sadly, however, today there are many Christians who simply never open their Bible, choosing not to receive God's precious Word. And I say precious. As a result, their hearts are not inclined to wisdom or understanding, but instead to foolishness and destruction. Here's my question for us, dads. Is your Bible more like a prop in a movie than a trusted friend you feel lost without? When you go home, does your Bible find its way into whatever place that it goes? And then on Sunday morning, you're scrambling around. Anybody see my Bible? I never have that problem because I'm like a Bible junkie. My wife, I've shared this before, I brought it home, I caught some Bibles on sale, and I'm like, bet, you know, because I can mark them up. I've got this one I don't mark up because I preach out of it. But then I've got the ones at home that I've got all marked up, and so I'm like, man, they're on sale, like $5, man, New King James. I'm bringing that home, study Bibles, chain studies. I come in, and my wife's like, another Bible? Have you ever been accused of that? What are you doing? You bought another Bible? You already got like 10 upstairs. I'm like, I know, ain't it great? But those are already marked up. These are clean. Is there something more important in your life than God's Word? These are serious questions this morning. Is there something more important in your life than God's Word? Is Facebook more important? Netflix? I know people that will binge watch 40 hours worth of Netflix. I mean, they'll sit down day after day after day, man. They'll post up all weekend, man. They'll watch 8 hours, 16 hours, 20 hours over the weekend. Boy, I got home Friday night, boy, I was on Netflix, never once opened God's Word. Is there something more important in your life than God's Word? What does it say here? If you, thou, will receive, if you, thou, will incline, if you, thou, will apply, if you, thou, will Christ. That's a decision you have to make. That's a decision I have to make. Dad, that's a decision we must make in these times. If there's anything that's more important in your life than God's Word, I suggest you might rethink your priorities before you lose your family and yourself to the world and perhaps even to hell as a result of the lack of your leadership. I'm going to challenge us this morning. This is the summer of meat. If you're here this morning, thank you for being here this morning, but I'm not here to tickle any ears this morning. This Pastor Wayne got all up in my business. I fear that's turnabout fair play. Amen. Number two, your Father desires that you as His child, He desires for His children to fear Him. Now, this is not a popular topic in our church today, in our culture, often referred to as hellfire and damnation. Those old 50s preachers. But there's something to be said for it. So here's your meat for today. Look again at verse 5. It says, if thou seekest her wisdom, in parentheses there, as silver, and searchest for her wisdom, as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. Truth is today that many, and you may be one of them, don't like the idea of fearing God. As a result, in the church, we often soften the term when speaking of the fear of the Lord in order not to scare people away by making God seem to be some sort of monster. And God is not, but God is a just God. God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. And we must understand that. You might know it as hellfire, brimstone preaching, but I'd say today we might need a little bit more of it in our churches. Now, I want to point out to you in the passage here, the Hebrew word for this is yirah, and I'm mispronouncing a little bit, but I listened to the pronunciation over and over. And when translated from the Hebrew to the English, it literally means this: fear, terror, or fearing. Wow, it's kind of crazy. Now, I have a reverence and I have a holy fear of God, and I understand that God loves me, but I also understand that God does not endorse everything that I do, and that I will stand before Him because He is a God of justice and will judge me. And it's important that we understand that. Let me also remind you the words of our Lord Jesus for those who would say, hey, that's Old Testament in Matthew 10 and verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him, God, which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. There's some New Testament for you. Straight from the mouth of Jesus. Don't fear men. And oftentimes in this culture, we fear men and what they might say about how we understand God. And if we speak about hell or speak about this, and we're worried about that, and Jesus says, don't fear them, because they can't destroy your body or your soul in hell, but fear Him who can. I would also remind us this morning that as fathers, this should be something very easy for us to understand. Let me give you a better example. See, I love my children. I treat each one with compassion and dignity. And I think each of them, understands that there are just certain boundaries you don't cross with me in my house. As a result, in my home, I seldom need to do more than raise my voice or give a look. And my children understand that means they better stop immediately whatever it is they're doing. Some of you guys will understand that. I say this, I'm a parking lot Nazi because I know people, you know, I've actually counseled people who've, I counseled one guy who accidentally killed a kid in the driveway. So with my kids, when I'm in a parking lot, I'm pretty on it. And when I yell in a parking lot, you'll stop. It happens all the time. I'm like, hey! Everybody freezes. My kids know. I think Anderson Harley, I probably never spank. I think even David, I don't think I spanked him too often, although I probably should have spanked him a little bit more now that I think back on it. Amen. Amen. The Bible also says this about the fear of the Lord in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It is when we fear God that that's the beginning of our wisdom. It is only through fear of God that we can discover and truly partake of His transformative power that can change even the vilest of sinners into the holiest of saints through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It's only then that we truly bring our lives to God and say, God, change me. I don't need to change God to me. When I understand that my Father is holy, that He is just, and that His wrath will be revealed against all in sin and ungodliness, only then do I discover the depth of His mercy, the wonder of His grace, His inexhaustible compassion, and His boundless love for all mankind, including myself. When I realize just how much I've got that coming. Anybody remember that back in the day? Mama give you that look, Daddy give you that look. You knew you had it coming. But then we find mercy. Then we find grace. And as we sang this morning, we find a good, good Father. I believe it is a lack of fear of God today that is causing many to turn aside from His clear teaching in these last days, to honestly believe that they can live their lives in any way they wish and their Heavenly Father is just okay with whatever they do because the blood of Jesus covers it all. God loves me unconditionally. That is true, but God does not endorse your life unconditionally. He does not affirm everything that we do. That is nowhere found in Scripture. Can I find that? I find repent. Jesus would say, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn. Turn from your life and turn to the life God would have for you. Anything else is a lie straight from the pit of hell. Third thing today I want you to draw from this is our Father desires to keep His children safe. Look again, if you will, at verses 6 through 8. It says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them who walk uprightly. You could also interpret that shield. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. What is it specifically that our Father desires to give His children? Does He desire to give us money, social standing, earthly goods? No, He desires to give His children first wisdom. Wisdom. What do I need to do in any situation? How do I apply this so that I don't find myself in harm's way? He desires to do that by knowledge, and that knowledge comes through His Word that we cry out for, as we found earlier in the text, which gives us understanding. You see, when we treasure the Word of God, when we desire it more than the air we breathe, when we hide it in our hearts and treasure its teaching, it becomes a protection for us and our families. I know how to handle my finances. I know how to handle my relationships. I know when the will of God is for me to go this way or that way because I know what the Bible teaches, and it protects my family from me making decisions that would bring harm to my family. It's only found in God's Word. And it's only in God's Word that puts us on and can keep us on the path to eternal life. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. People after people after people, I've got my ideas about how things should be. You've got your ideas about how things should be. Who's the arbitrator? What's the objective standard? Is it me? Is it you? Or is it the Word of God? There is a way that seemeth right unto you today, but the end thereof is death. I encourage you, however you're living your life, whatever decisions you're making today, if you haven't sought that out, say, hey, what does God's Word say about that? Open this book and see what God says about any situation in your life. If you truly want to find blessing, you want to find prosperity, you want to find protection, and it's only the Word of God that transforms our hearts, your heart and mine, and the heart of our children, turning them away from the way that leads to damnation and destruction that Jesus warned of. Apostle Paul would write in Romans 12, he would say, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what renews my mind? The Word of God, hidden in my heart, is the only thing that renews my mind. And finally, if you look in verse 9 of our text, it says, "Then thou shalt understand righteousness, judgment, and equity, yea, every good path." Only when we incline our ear to the Word of God, only when we cry out for the Word of God, we cry after knowledge, only when we seek it as silver and search for it as hid treasure. You know, if we would search for the Word of God and the truths of the Word of God, like we would try to find the next Andy's. Anybody like Andy's up in here? Whataburger. I saw something about Whataburger this week, right? They're maybe going to franchise out. I saw a bunch of them. Facebook blew up. Could we get one here? Could we get one there? If we would seek after the Word of God like we would a Whataburger. I'm just saying. We might get somewhere. You see, it's only God's Word hidden in our heart that brings about understanding. And the understanding our Father in heaven so desperately longs for His children to have. See, that's your Father's heart this morning. He wants you to understand how to have a marriage. He wants you to understand how to be an employee, an employer. He wants you to understand how to operate in this system and navigate in the government. He wants you to understand to be able to give a defense for your faith. He wants you to go out. He wants us as a church to carry out the Great Commission. Go, therefore, in all the world. Preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing, making disciples. How can you disciple anyone if you have no idea what the Bible teaches? I'd be happy, man. I'd be right back here after church. If you want to tell me how that happens, I'm happy to entertain that. But I don't know how you do it. I can't teach you what I don't know. Given it shall be given. I can't give you anything I don't have, and if I give it to you, God will give me more. Amen? It's the thing I love most about preaching and teaching, as I first have to study this out. And as Pastor Wayne said, the sermon first preaches to me. And I examine my heart, and I look this week, do I hunger and thirst after righteousness? My prayer this morning is that we would search our hearts and allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to us. If you're here this morning and you've lost your love for the Word, that you would not just sit idly in your seat this morning, but you'd come down to this altar and repent. And we get serious about this thing called church. And serious about doctrinal understanding. There's nothing wrong with doctrine and good teaching. The Bible says that in the last days they will not endure sound doctrine or teaching, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. How do you know anything I said up here is true? I mean, did you see that in the Bible? Those verses up there, you think, did I just make those up? Are you sure? Anybody take notes this morning? Going to go back and check me? Don't take my word for it. But study this out and say, hey, what does this mean? My prayer this morning, men, is that we as fathers would take our Father's hand and recommit ourselves to reading, loving, and knowing God's Word as we take the hands of our families and lead them in the presence of God. See, it's this kind of crazy uniform thing. See, just as an example, So say Pastor David's my dad, and I'm taking his hand, and Miss Connie's my child, and I'm taking her hand, and it forms a chain. Yeah, I know my hands are kind of cold. It's because I got a warm heart. And it forms a chain as we pass the baton. But ultimately, I as the father have to have my hand where? In God's hand. Before I can take the hand of my wife, who can take the hand of my children, and it forms a chain. Let that chain not be unbroken. And let me tell you this about a chain. It's only as strong as its weakest link. The question this morning is, are you the weakest link? Should we vote you off the island? Hey, could be Survivor Island. It will be Survivor Island at some point. Savannah comes this morning. The altars are open for anybody that has any need this morning. But Dad, I want to challenge us this morning. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you say, I love the Word of God and I'm committed to the Word of God. Is there a man you can pray for this morning? Is there someone here you know, maybe you're doing life with, that's struggling, that needs another man to come alongside them and pray for them? Maybe you're here this morning, Father, and maybe you've got children that have strayed and are wayward. What, do we stand in the gap? Or do we just let our children go off? We would be a people who would cry out to God in prayer, whose hearts would understand the power of our God, that we would incline our ear to wisdom, that we would search for it as silver and gold, that we would value it more than we value our cars, our Facebook, our sports. I know people, Christians, who can tell me more about their favorite sports team than they can tell me about Matthew or Luke or Mark or John or Acts or Romans or 1st or 2nd Corinthians. They've never picked it up. Have no idea. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus, or maybe you're here struggling, you have a burden, the altars are open. As Savannah sang earlier, we have a good, good Father. You stand to your feet this morning, the altars are open. Whatever the need, you come.